Well, I want to give everybody a chance tonight, just to, if you will, just shake someone's hand and you don't mind, we just need to have a little fellowship. I like to have fellowship. And I know maybe we haven't been doing that, but I mean, say, but ain't but a few here. Well, it don't make no difference, ain't but one or two. We still have fellowship, one or two. We got to have fellowship in his name. So just go around and shake someone's hand. If you hadn't shaken the hand, just let them know that you're glad they're back. And I tell you, just good to be back in God's house tonight. Good to be saved. Good to know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. And he can be personal. But for a few moments tonight, I want to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. In verse 14. Down through 19. Chapter 3 and verse 14 in the book of Revelation. Chapter 3 and verse 14. And I'm going to try to go on and hurry things up because I know that y'all don't want to be here to midnight, so because y'all know how I can get. You know I can get a little long-winded, but I don't mean to, but hey, I'm not going to apologize for God and God's Word. I can't, but and that's about as good an English as I know of. I'm down here in the South where we say ain't. But I tell you, it's just good to be here tonight. And I tell you, you know something? We can have a good time in the Lord. We can have fun. That don't mean we can go out on Saturday night and have parties and stuff like that and drink alcohol and smoke a little pot and all that junk. And then get up in the next morning and have a headache. I can go out there on Saturday night. I can go to a revival on Saturday night or Jubilee. And I can have just as good a time there as I can. These individuals out here, these honky-tonks and everything. And first thing in the morning. And then the morning, I can get up in the morning just rejoicing over what I heard the night before. But I ain't never been able to rejoice over going to the barroom the night before when I was lost. Ain't no way I could get up the next morning and rejoice over that. Because you can't rejoice over a hangover or a headache. But I just thank God he saved my soul. Thank God he came where I was at. I wasn't looking for him, but thank God he was, knew where exactly I was at, and he came where I was at. Over there in Psalms chapter 40, these verses right here, I reckon, if you want to say, if you pick up verses in the Bible that speaks to your heart and everything, I tell you, this is where I was at. This is exactly where I was at when Jesus found me. And it says right here, which the very first part, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. That wasn't me. I wasn't waiting on the Lord. I wasn't waiting patiently for him to speak to me. But he heard my cry. But he said right here in verse 2, says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he set my whole being upon him. When he pulled me in the miry corrupt out of the horrible pit. Out of the horrible pit where he brought me from. And I can rejoice over knowing that he didn't reach down with his hand. Like a whole lot of people, they sing the song when he reached way down. No, he went up here reaching and stretching and reaching and stretching way down. He came exactly where I was at. He came exactly where you was at. In that horrible pit. In the mire. In the muck, in the stench of this world. And he brought us out. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That right there is enough for a Presbyterian to shout. Or a Baptist or Southern Baptist. It's just enough right there to make anybody just want to thank the Lord for saving their soul and just shouting. I mean, I'm going to ask y'all a question. Do you remember when the last time that you just raised your hand and you waved it to the Lord and said, Lord, thank you for your blessings. Amen. And we can say amen. Not only that, the Word of God teaches us, yes, we can shout also. Why? Because of his goodness and his mercy. In verse 6 there it talks about in Psalms 20, the 23rd chapter in verse 6, it's talking about the goodness and the mercy of God met together. And they've been with me ever since. Goodness came into my heart and mercy came there. And I'm so thankful that he didn't say, well, down here, I'm going to just cast you to a side a little bit. I'll be back. He accepted me exactly who I was. A dirty, low down sinner. That's who he went to the cross for, was for me and for you. But here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and it says, and he's speaking to the Laodicean church. Now the Laodicean church, what it means is really basically, it means the people's church. God is not nowhere to be found. The Holy Spirit has never been. And the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get into the local church. But the people will not allow the Trinity of the Father to enter into the local house. That's what is the Laodicean church age. And we're living in that church age. We're living in the Laodicean church today. Because there's so many people today that wants to come into the house of God, and they come up, and if they had never been to church or anything like that, or has never been saved, they'll even come and they'll ask the pastor, "Well, do you allow drinks? Do you allow food in the sanctuary while you're preaching?" Brother James Abbott was talking to me here about a week ago about the same thing. An individual come, and they was lost, and they didn't know. See, they don't know anything. But that is up to us to lead them to the Lord and to teach them how they must act when they come into the house of God. And they ask James that same question. Can I bring a drink? Can I bring a snack into the church services? I don't get off until 5:30, and it's going to take me at least 40 minutes to get here. That's me driving straight through, not me stopping or getting nothing to eat. And he told them this. He said, "Well, if that's the case, then what you need to do, you need to stay in your vehicle. And you need to drink the drink. And you need to eat your snack in the vehicle before you come in to the house of God. We're not in no fellowship hall. This is the sanctuary. And you should not have to compromise with people to get them to come and to hear God's word." Now, I know y'all have heard me say that there's a particular church in town. I'm not going to name the church. But I will tell you one thing. The church allows coffee, donuts, and other things there to eat there on Sunday morning. And you can not only eat it in the a room that they got aside, but you can bring it into the services where they're supposed to be in there honoring the Lord. They're bringing it in and they'll listen to preaching. I'd hate to see it, but I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can do the same thing today that he did back then when he went into that in that sanctuary there, and when the people there was gambling, they was casting lots for coats and everything. They was in there basically gambling for what they have put there for clothes and different things. And Jesus walked in, and I believe this is where that Paul come up with the verse through the presence of the Holy Spirit, where he says, "Be ye angry and sin not." How many of you believe that Jesus ever got angry? He did get angry. I believe he went into that sanctuary that day, and he seen the gambling and what they was doing. They was discrediting the house of prayer. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked in and he saw that. He didn't say a thing to them. He just went over there where they was at and around. And he took his hand and he picked up that table and he turned it upside down. Now, I've never seen anybody that can walk into a place of business or someone else's home or a church or anything and just grab a hold of a table where it's got stuff on and turn it upside down and be glad about it and happy about it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't happy about that. But it was going on in that day, and it's still going on today. They will allow anything and everything to come into the house of prayer. This place right here is a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary for the Christians to come in and pray for the lost and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a sanctuary where the people that's in the world, where they can be able to come into the house of God and not only come be here, but it's a sanctuary where they can come and they can bow on their knees and they can ask the God in heaven to touch the heart, to touch the soul, and to save them. That's what this sanctuary is all about. Now, I know that every one of you see me up here sip a little water. What a reason for that? Because my throat gets dry. Now, one time I was up here and it got so dry, I didn't have no water up here or nothing. But it got so dry, and here I was trying to speak, and I couldn't hardly speak because my tongue had stuck to the top of my mouth, the roof of my mouth. And when it gets that dry, you know what to do. But that's the reason for it. You'll never see me come in here and just start drinking, just to be drinking. If I do, it's because my mouth is dry. And I have to get up here and speak. And I have to get up here and preach. And it depends on the Holy Ghost or how hard I preach, or it depends on how long I preach. It depends on God. If it was up to me and up to Donald Mahan, then what I'd have done, I'd have read the verse of Scripture, and I'd have talked to you a little bit about it, and I'd be damned. I would get damned. Because I would have said everything that I could say. But while I'm here, I have to depend on the Holy Spirit to give me the Word of God. Because there's no way under the sun that I can remember this, that, and this, and that in Scripture. There's no way I can study, and I can study. But time I get through studying it, and I don't know why I prayed about it, and I've asked God, you've got to deliver me from this because I need you to increase my memory a little bit. I said, God, I said, you know, right here, and I'd be looking up some stuff on the computer and everything, on the software that I got, and a different book, and I'd be reading some of that, and that I'd want to save that. So I'd put a what they call a jump drive in it. A USB drive in it, and I'd save it to that, where I could take the jump drive out, and I'd save it. Next time, if I want to just read over it, I push that in. Well, you don't call me a jump drive, it's fine. But I look at this, son. With God, I'm nothing. Without God, I cannot do anything. I can plug myself in, and you'll get nothing. But if God allows me to be plugged in to Him and through the Holy Ghost of God, then I don't just have a jump drive that's been the virus has got a hold to it and it won't work anymore and all of that stuff going on to it. But God can give me, God can put in my soul, and God can put in my heart and my mind a jump drive that can remember from years back what I've learned and what I've studied But I have to depend on God for that junk drive. I have to depend on God to give me what He wants me to speak about. I'm not one of these type of individuals. I used to be. I used to be when I first started out preaching. I used to be one type of individuals where I would get out and I would go and I would search and I would find maybe a sermon or something like that, and I would tear it out. And I would get and I would try to preach that sermon by the paper that I had. But I've learned about it. I can't do that anymore. God will not allow me to do that anymore. God speaks to me. Unless I do it God's way, I might as well close my Bible, get down from here, walk out that door, get in my car, and go home. If I got to do it any other way, besides God's way, besides this book, everything that I ever said, I believe I got scripture to back me up on it. It's somewhere. It's not a question that we can ever come up with where God does not have the answer to. And we'll be surprised at what God's answer is in some cases. Be surprised. John chapter 14 and verse 26. One verse there. But the Comforter. Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. Who lives within us? Who comforts us every day when we get in trouble? When we get in trouble with sin, or we get in trouble with God, or we get in trouble with what we don't think is right? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comforts our heart. And here come on and say, Donnie, you don't come here and ask forgiveness today. Don't worry about it anymore. Don't worry about it. It's okay if you can't remember that. It's okay that you can't quote verses of scripture. It's okay. Don't worry about that. When you come up against that, the Holy Ghost will give it to you. It says, but the Holy Ghost
that lives inside of me. You know what the Holy Spirit represents to me? For my life? To my ministry, that He's my professor. He teaches me what this Bible says. And in the latter part of the same verse, He tells me, He says, don't worry about it, Diane. When you come up against that, I'll bring you back. What you read in the past, you maybe forgot about it now. And maybe you have never read it in the past. But if you ever come up again, I'll show you what it says. It just shows.
We need to just get in it. We just need to get so involved. We need to be in love with the Father. We need to be in love with the Son. And we need to be in love with the Holy Spirit of God. If we're in love with the Trinity, we ain't got to worry about nothing else. We ain't got to worry about somebody here talking about us. We ain't got to worry about this. We ain't got to worry about if the church is going to grow. We ain't got to worry about that. Why? Because we're in love with God. And God's in love with us. And what does God want? He wants the very best out of His children, right? Like I said to you before, do you honestly believe that God wants to close this church down? Yes. Hey, I know in the past maybe you thought, hey,
There's no way in the world we're going to make it. No way in the world we're going to make it. But see, God is in it. We're putting everything on us. All the cares of the world, we're placing it on us, on me, and on yourself. And God says, you need to bring your burden to me and let me take care of your burden. He can take care of our cares that is in life. And as he takes care of them, then we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to do what he's asked us to do. We're supposed to go out and invite people to the house of the Lord, and we must tell them about Jesus.
The Laodicean church. Hey, that's the church that's trying to come up today. The Laodicean church. And unto the angel of the Lord and the angel of the church of the Laodicean write these things, saith the Amen and the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of all of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He wants us to be on fire for God. He wants us to get so enthused about going out on Monday as we have come into the God's house on Sunday to go out on Monday sometime on a job, and nobody can ever quit anybody from praying. We can pray on a job. We may not can pray it out loud, but a whole lot of time when people pray out loud, they're praying to be seen. Praying to be seen. We need to get in our closet. Where's our closet? It's anywhere we can make it. Just be alone with God.
I said something this morning during prayer.
Somebody was requesting prayer. And I think that right there, it should be a matter of prayer each and every time that we come to the house of God. And we maybe just by ourselves during the week, and we don't pray for everybody else, we can always remember the individuals
where Satan Satan uses work today to take people away from the church service. And we need to pray that God will speak to the hearts of the individuals that makes up all the schedules and everything, and the people out here that does all the drugs and everything, that they will have to do some of the work on Sunday. But majority of the time, they don't have. They don't have to work usually on Sunday. Why? Because see, the devil don't want to disturb them. The devil don't want them to get upset. The devil don't want them to get up and uproar. Because if it does, see, they're going to blame somebody. But they don't realize they're blaming Satan himself. But we need to pray for people like Sister Julie in the dilemma. She got one more Sunday she can be on church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I don't know if anybody else in here works a daytime shift, but you can't make it in services other times. Maybe on a Wednesday night. You can't make it on Wednesday night because of your job keeps you overtime. We need to pray that God will get a hold to the individual that makes like the schedule or whatever for doing the work. Hey, I think a whole lot of times we pray for the wrong thing. We need to pray that God will touch the individuals that's keeping them out of church. Who are the individuals? The ones that come up and make up the time sheet or the schedule sheet, or the owners of the company. Hey, it was a place, it was a place of business here in Dana. And that place of business has been here, I don't know, somebody said during the 1900s, I don't know. And that was Belt Leggett's. Belt Leggett's, as long as it was owned by a Leggett, it was never open on Sunday. Never was. And on Wednesday, yeah, when they moved to the mall, yeah, they was open a little later, the 9 o'clock at night. But on Wednesday, every Wednesday morning, they had a different preacher to come in at Belt Leggett's and hold services before they opened. That was from Leggett himself. Fred Leggett, he started that. And I understand that his father had started that. And then after Fred Leggett got out of it, then his other brother, or brother-in-law, had kept it up. But then, the others started coming in and wanting to buy out his part. And he told them, he said, if you ever open on Sunday, and if you ever quit having the meetings on Sunday morning, I'm going to promise you, on the authority of God's word, that you're going to make the best money in your life. They don't make the kind of money. They don't bring in it kind of revenue that they brought in before. Why? Because they're going against God. This country is the one away from God. How did it get so far away from God?
Because of the church of today, the Laodicean church is the people's church. It's what the people want, not what God wants. Because it says over here, well, I'm going to read on, Dan, then I'm going to close. It says, in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white remnants, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What is he saying? The people, the Christians, the people that's in that's been born again, that used to be in the house of God every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all times supported everything that went on in the house of the Lord. As many as I have loved, I rebuked and chastened. Be zealous therefore and repent. And in verse 20 it says, behold, I, speaking of Jesus, stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. There are many churches today that I hear where Jesus is on the outside of the church door, and he's not. This is Jesus. Let me in. Can I come in? I want to sup with you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to speak to you. He's still standing outside the doors and knocking in a whole lot of churches. As long as I'm living, he's welcome anytime where I'm around. He's welcome into the house of God. He's welcome into the individual's heart. That's the only way that we can get away from the Laodicean church age. You say, well, that's scripture. We don't get away from the Laodicean church age. Well, the Laodicean church age is here. And it's here to stay. But that does not mean that every body of Christ which is here tonight, the people that's here tonight, is the body of Christ. We don't have to allow it to be the Laodicean church. We don't have to let it be the people's church. It's not the people's church. It's not the Laodicean church. This is God's church. God allowed every brick. God allowed every man to mix them all. God allowed every man, every individual to take a part in constructing this building. And with in constructing this building, I believe it was back in 65, right? The basement was. And in, now, at that time, I never had met Brother Poovey. Never had. But after I got saved, I met him. I met him there, and he had a revival that he was having. I think can't think of the evangelist's name, but he had a son also that helped revival. The father was a kind of little hefty man, maybe about the same height I was, maybe a little taller, a little bigger than I was, but I can't think of his name. But I knew that night that when this church was birthed into this strip of road right here, it was birthed by the help of the Lord. And I know he dedicated to the Lord. I know he did. Because he dedicated his life to the Lord. And he loved the Lord. Didn't mind telling you. He said, son, if you don't know it, missing him. You need to know him. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came and found me. Yes. I wouldn't have been.
opinion. I'm a little early. My wife. Lord, have the reason you want. What I miss. I mean, I met some hellfire and brimstone preachers. I helped you. I met some preachers that preached heaven sweet. Hell hot. Heaven with joy. Heaven with name. Like me, I'm going to draw my own name. Like me, I'm going to draw my own name. I'm so thankful. The Lord still wants to use me. For what reason, I do not know. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for every day, every blessing that you bring to my life. I love him tonight more than I ever had before. I love him more today than I did the day that I got saved. Why? For the day I don't know who God is. Or if he does. I don't know what God is for the day. No more life. He told me. I know that he speaks of two types of books in the book of Revelation, the book of life, then the book of death, the books of damnation, where you're going to bring out many, where God is going to be. But until that time comes, he wants me to do what I teach. It means that I have to be here for him, I have to be here for him. I'm not going to go back and do it. If he took care of Paul, Silas, and David, and Samuel, by the wonderful means of the day. I can just go there and I can sing to the ladies. Well, I want to fly. And now my eyes are open. So wide open. Got the blinders on. Can't see this wizard. The blinders are spread. That's my norm. Straight and narrow. Not the ball, of course. It leads to destruction. That right gets to go to the dead, and I will be dead in heaven. With the vast majority of people around this world, heaven's not going to be proud of you. We're going, I'm going to be surprised. We're all going to be surprised. I won't be surprised what really heaven is going to be all about. I get in this book sometimes I go to night. I go to bed at night and I close my eyes and I go to sleep. And then I'll start dreaming. And I'm dreaming about what heaven is doing. I dream about where I walk in on that street. Then I look down. It's a strange time for life. You might
Ask us some questions. We'll start that way.